Okay, we're going to start out with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is in the New King James. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body..." Everybody say spirit, soul, body. "Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what does that say? Man is tripartite, right? Three parts. That is spirit, soul, and body. And the most important part of our being is what? But you know, in our society, I think it's the other way around. Our body, right? Should we take care of our body? Yeah, of course. It's your earth suit, right? And as a believer, it is your temple, right? Or is really his temple. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died and he purchased us with his own blood, so we're now his people, his provision. Amen. His possession, should I say. And so we have to focus then on the most important part of us, because out of your heart, you know, flow all the issues of life. The most important part is to make sure that your spirit is right. Amen. Your heart is right with God, as we say. So, all right. Now, we're good at sometimes even working on our intellect. You know, some people, they just love education and studying and reading books and playing, tricky word games or whatever it might be, even video games and for the intellectual stimulation that they might get. Certainly, you're not getting much intellectual stimulation watching TV where your jaw hangs down and you're kind of like, you zone out into la-la land. But, you know, it's that part of us that we, you know, we're feeding, and we have to be careful. How many of you have to be careful what you're feeding into your mind, right? You've heard it said, garbage in, garbage out, right? Okay, so we need to pay attention to what God is saying. I'm going to repeat a verse that we've been kind of dwelling on here, but we've got to really get this, because if you don't get this part, if you don't understand this part of your Christian life, nothing else is going to work out. You can do all the right stuff, you can know the scriptures, you can do the Christian stuff, but if you don't understand your spirit and the importance of taking care of your spirit man, then nothing else is going to work out right for you in your Christian life. As a matter of fact, it's not even a true Christian experience unless it is one that is led by the Spirit of God with your spirit. Would you agree with that? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So John 4:23 says, Jesus said this, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." How many know that you can be an intellectual Christian and you can worship God intellectually? But how many know that intellectual worship is not acceptable to God? Soulish worship is not acceptable. God accepts that which is from our spirit, that is together with his spirit. As a matter of fact, we can do a lot of good things. We can be loving. We can be peaceful. We can be good people. And this can all be human effort. It can all be soulish. And whatever is of the soul is not acceptable. What God does accept is the fruit of the Spirit, large S, the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit. So what God is looking for is his fruit out of our lives. God wants to dwell in us, and he wants to possess us, and he wants to work through us. And it has to be by his spirit and not by our will. It's not by our intellect. It's not even by our good feelings. We've been in trouble by that, haven't we? So focusing on worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Truth is what's real. Truth is reality. When you say that's true, that's a true statement. You're saying that's authentic. It's real. Okay? Now, the Greek word is proskounia, and it means to kiss. That word worship there means to kiss. Listen, like a dog licking its master's hand. To crouch to, that is literally or figuratively, prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence to or adore. to worship the Father. How many know that when you prostrate yourself before God, your entire being is being submitted, right? It's being humbled before Him. Now, where we say, God, I thank You that I'm not like other men, and we take our list of all the good things we do before Him, and He says, that's no good, because you're really a mess without Me. Well, we beat our breasts and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from myself. I mean, you know that God sets us free from us. You still have you. You still have your personality. Amen. God doesn't take that away. He created you. He wanted you to be you. But what He wants is a cooperative effort where we're cooperating with God. We're walking with God. Amen. In agreement with God. So your soul is submitting to the authority of the Holy Spirit, to the authority of the Father. Now, listen, if we want to give spiritual help to others, we must first be recipients of God's help. Isn't that true? We can't give away anything that we haven't first received. And if you're not spending time in His presence, you're not receiving. Do you know that God doesn't just do a lot of stuff for you, except that when we come to Him and we ask, we can receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened unto us. How many know that God does things at times that we didn't even ask Him for just because of His nature, because He's good? Amen. But God is saying, listen, there is treasure that you don't know of yet that I want to release in your life. But the only way you're going to receive My treasure, which is far superior to the temporary things of this world, is that you would ask Me and you would seek Me and you would knock. That means you would press into Him. You would seek God with all your heart. He wants to be sought after. God doesn't want to lose us to lesser things. He has a better plan, a better picture for us. Amen? A better life for us. It's a higher life. And He wants us to discover who we are in Him. The higher life. We don't have to waddle around as chickens anymore, right? I used to do that. Now we, in Christ, can soar on wings as eagles with Him. He takes us to higher realms, a higher life, a higher place. It's not of us, but it's of Him. It's by His grace. Lest we should boast about our accomplishments. So we've got to be seekers of God. We've got to be worshipers of God. And the Spirit is your most inner core. You know, that's the very core of your being. And so what has to happen is, because God is a large S, we have to worship Him in small s, spirit to spirit, right? So the deep of me has to cry out to the deep of God. We don't pray even from our intellect in the sense that our intellect will be involved and that it's under the authority now of the Holy Spirit. Are you following? But if we offer intellectual prayers, and we've all done it, they're dead, they're stale, they don't go anywhere. We have to worship God in the spirit man, in the secret heart. Amen? We are now the temple, and the temple had three chambers. It had an outer court, an inner court, and then the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. Remember, that's where God dwells. That's the secret place. And you and I are tripartite, three parts, and it's in the spirit that we are to worship God. And it's out of the Spirit that God will minister also His life to others around us. How many know that you can give an intellectual message and you can stimulate people's intellect, their mind? You can even get their emotions stirred and you can even get their will engaged so that they do something. But if it's not by the Spirit, it will produce no fruit. Why is it you can have, hopefully not here, but you can have altar calls where people were emotionally stirred to do something, but it wasn't of God, it was of the individual exercising his own or her own will because they thought that's a good idea or that's something that we should do. It's a good thing. But when it's God, it's the right thing. And when God says to do something and we obey and we get into alignment with what God is saying, there is supernatural results. There is life. When God says, you know, I want to heal you of something, and you sit there and you do nothing, you don't move, you don't respond to his invitation, well, you just lost out on what he wanted to give you. Are you with me? If it's man doing it, then you're wasting your time to respond to the altar call. Are you with me? So the key is to hear his voice, to worship him and know him, be acquainted with him. So in our spirit, we know when God is speaking. We need to be able to distinguish between my thoughts and his thoughts. And God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher thoughts. And you think as we were natural people before we were born again, before the light came on, you know, we just did all everything naturally in our own thoughts, our own thinking, and our own ideas, and what we thought was best. And then when we're born again, all of a sudden, we start getting these other thoughts that are higher thoughts or better thoughts. They start to come in. And that's the Holy Spirit in your spirit trying to speak to you. And what we need to do is we need to separate between those two, and we need to start living the higher life in obedience to the voice of God. And we need to starve out that other part of us that wants to do the same old thing it used to do. Because that leads to death. So most of us, would you agree? Don't say amen if you don't have to say amen. But we feel that we are pretty deep and we're pretty, you know, it's pretty strong. Most of us, we like to think we are anyways. We're deep and we're strong. Yet it's in the times of adversity that we become aware of our true inner strength. Say amen. Amen. It's important to know that God allows us to go through these times of difficulty so that we become aware of where we really stand. And as a result, we'll go deeper into him. So the adversity in your life is actually a good thing because it's a test often to see what you're made of. Are you with me? Where you stand spiritually. Are you truly strong in the Lord, in the power of his might? Or are you just kind of winging it on last Sunday's sermon or whatever? You understand what I'm saying? Trying to live off yesterday's bread and today. And then when the difficulties come, the adversities come in your life, you don't have any strength because you haven't been drawing from the source, who is Christ. And so as a result, when adversity comes, we fall on our face. But you know what? That's not a bad thing because it simply reminds us that we're human, we're frail, and we need God's power. It's okay. God allows you to fail. He knew Peter was going to fail. He didn't stop him. He wanted Peter to become aware that what he was called to do was bigger than him and he couldn't do it in his own strength. So God's calling us to go deeper into him so that we'll have our roots in him. That our roots will go deep in him. And so when the winds and the waves come against our tree, if you will, it's going to stand. Why? Because the roots go deep. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. In the New Living Translation, it says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. So pressure is something that we deal with every day. Would you agree with me? Life is full of pressure. But it's pressure that really produces fruit in our lives because pressure will cause us to go deeper into God. Pressure will release the anointing of God out of us through brokenness. Pressure reminds us that in and of ourselves, we really don't have what it takes to live a Christian life. You know, it's really simple, but sometimes it's profound for us to get the understanding. But a Christian life, you know, cannot be lived, as you know, in the power of the will of man. Unless your will is submitted to his will. Only then do you have strength. Paul is saying when you humble yourself, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. In other words, You know, in and of himself, he could probably boast of his accomplishments, and he could wow people with his intellectual understanding and the wealth of information that he acquired, even knowing the first five books of the Bible. You know, he could have wowed people with that. But he was saying that, listen, all of that I have to set aside so that I may know him, that I may have fellowship with him, that I may know his voice, and that I may speak when he's speaking and do what he's doing and go where he's going. And only then will I produce life. When I'm weak in myself, when I'm poor in spirit in myself, then I am strong indeed. Wow. And so God allows pressure so that we will go deep into him. The problem is that sometimes instead of going deep into God, we run from God. We look for cheap alternatives. We look for the quick high or the buzz or something to try to mask our problems. Are you with me? We look for a way to escape, rather than running into him who is our strong tower, our deliverer. Instead of running into the secret place of God, amen, and abiding in that place of his perfect love, we look for quick fixes and alternatives, and the enemy's there to say, hey, having a bad day? Let's go get stoned. Let's go get drunk. You having an identity problem? Start dressing like a prostitute, you know, and flaunt yourself. And all the guys will like you then. Come on, I can go further, but I'm going to stop right there. Is that nailing it? Or thank you, Jesus. Jesus spoke, listen, of certain people who have a visible outward life of service, but have no foundation. And that's from Luke 8 and verse 13. This is where he's talking about the four soil types. And I want to look at this again, but the ones on the rock are those who are on the stony places, in some translations, are those who they hear the word of God and they receive it with joy. Amen, brother. That's a good word. And these have no root. And they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. In time of pressure, they cave in. Jesus is saying that you and I can have an external life of righteousness. We can have a life that, by all appearances to most people, is righteous and holy. And we can be very busy doing things for God. Are you with me? Christian service, and yet at the same time be starving to death spiritually. Because you have a visible life, but you don't have a secret life with God. The most important life is your secret life with God. Is the times that you shut yourself in to your closet and get with Jesus and have communion with him. Not in church, but alone with God. And out of that secret life, am I right? Then the outward life will come into agreement. It'll come into alignment. Things will begin to manifest outwardly because you have spent time inwardly worshiping in the Spirit, in the secret place of the Most High God. God looks for fruit, but he delights, amen? He delights in fruit, but he's working on the root. You hear that? God looks for fruit, he delights in it, but he's really working on the root. That's the place where we go deep into him. We have to grow down and we have to grow up. Are you with me? In the sense that we have to go deep into God. He gives us the illustration of a plant or a tree. And so, if we don't pay attention to the Spirit, which is the most important part of us, then we're not going to be able to stand on the outside for very long. You'll do good for a while, but you're going to wither eventually. If you don't have a secret life with God, you're not going to do well for very long outwardly. If you don't stand on the inside, you're not going to stand on the outside. So God is trying to get our attention as His people that He's called us to intimacy, to worship, to communion with Him. Why? Because He's in love with us. He loves you. He wants you to know Him. He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants to make Himself known to us. He knows who we are already. Hello? He's not going to say, who are you? He knows who we are in the sense that we're His creation. But He wants us to know Him. And you can't know anybody unless you're willing to spend time with them. You know, sometimes, and I share this with Heyzuk a lot, but, you know, I go to these fellowship meetings sometimes, and there's a whole bunch of guys there or a bunch of preachers, you know, we get together. And it's like you really never had any really good fellowship because you were so distracted by all the activity. And how many know what I'm talking about? In a party setting, there's, you know, you get, hey, how's it going? It's good to see you. Oh, how you doing, brother? It's good to see you. Hey, great party, huh? You know, and you run over here. And you don't really get to know people that way. The same thing is true with fellowship. We come together and we have a celebration together in the Lord, right? And we shake a hand. Hey, brother, you can see him 20 years later and still not know who that person really is. Unless you have taken the time to sit down with them and to break bread and to share heart to heart. I like to get people really alone. Or just with another couple if Heyzuk's with me. So that we can really engage one another and get to know each other below the surface. Do you see? That's the way it is with God. We have our corporate times. We have our times when we're busy and we're doing things. But we've got to have that personal time, that intimacy with God in the Spirit, in order for us to be anything on the outside. We've certainly got to be built up on the inside. And so a strong root base is necessary for longevity and fruitfulness. And if a plant has shallow roots, I mean, I know it's only going to endure for a little while. It needs to seek deep waters to have a strong root base. I mean, I know it's the root that grows where? Under the surface. We've got, I don't know what they call that plant out there. I'm terrible at names, but they have really big flowers and rhododendron maybe or something. But right now, you know, like in the wintertime, all those flowers fall off, you know, and the thing looks really bad. And that's the time to get out there and cut all the dead stuff off. And sometimes you can cut that thing down to where there's really not a lot to look at. And it's pretty ugly by appearances. But there's a pruning that has to take place. That's the best time to do it. And then all of a sudden, we're noticing, hey, there's new life coming out of that, you know. But it's because the tree is actually alive, but what I'm seeing on the surface in the wintertime appears to be dead. And yet there are roots that are drawing, right, the nourishment into that. So there is life there. And unless there is water, a supply of water to that, unless there is, you know, nourishment at the roots, there's not going to be any leaves. There's not going to be any flowers, right? So it is. Once again, this is a simple illustration that Jesus taught us. But if we don't get this, folks, we can get all the theology, all the, you know, the nuts and bolts about the Greek and the Hebrew and understand all these mysteries. But if we don't get the simplicity of the Christian life that has to be planted and abiding in worship and God, amen? This is what it's all about. Out of intimacy with God will come everything else that you have need of. As you seek the kingdom of God above everything else, then everything else will be added unto you. It's always got to be from the most important part that we worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking those who will do that. The Father is looking for worshipers, folks. Amen? We've got to open our hearts, folks. Amen? God's saying open the door. We don't want to say, can't come in. Because to the degree that you shut God out is to the degree that you'll remain bound. If you don't allow Him to fill you with His love. If you don't cooperate with the Holy Spirit when He says, repent and turn away from these things, and what He really means is seek God only. When you seek God, when you draw near to God, your mind is not going to be on earthly things. Your mind is not going to be preoccupied with sinful living. Why? Because you're infatuated with one who is far superior to anything that this world could give you. And you'll have a hunger and a thirst for more of Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Worship in the secret place of the Most High. And you will be filled with the love of God. And there will be no fear in that place. And you'll be able to talk to people. You don't have to struggle to witness because you're just flowing. Amen. God's flowing out of your life. It's not where you have to psych yourself up and, okay, we're going to go do this. Sometimes you just got to do what's right, whether you feel like it or not. But out of obedience to Christ, we say yes. And we step out, and then God meets us there. And His power is released in our lives, and there are results. Good results. As believers, we have an active, visible life, and yet lack a healthy, secret life with God. We can have a very active, visible life, and yet lack that healthy, secret life with God. And that's what I was quoting with Psalms 91:1. We all know that so well. He who what? Dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the protection of the Almighty, right? That word dwells means yashab. It means to sit down, to remain, to settle, to marry, to abide, to continue, to inhabit, to tarry. So he who remains, dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How many know that that is something that we must do? God has done everything for our salvation. He's provided all the grace that we have need of, but we've got to come to Him. Amen. We've got to come with confidence, amen, in the blood. Before the throne of grace, our Father. And everything that we have need of is in that place. I don't know how many times, I know there's a witness here, many witnesses, that where we've been stressed out and pressured of life, and I've just shut myself in with God and just started crying out to God. You know, yeah, sometimes I'm just doing the Jesus caller thing. I just start shouting the name of Jesus. And the oppressor will leave, and my heart will be flooded with the love, the grace of God. And it's like, man, that problem seems so big. And it's like, that's what I was stressed out over? God's presence will do that. He will take you into a realm where it's beyond natural understanding. You'll have a perspective from heaven and not from the earth. When we're earthly, we're just like chickens, and we're just wallowing around in the poop, you know, and we're looking at one another and pecking on one another in the barnyard, you know. And God's saying, listen, there's a higher place that you can come. You're an eagle. You're not a chicken. Why are you acting like a chicken? Worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. Secret place. Temple of the Holy Spirit. Communing with God in the secret. And what you do in secret, God says He will reward you openly. Huh. So what's birthed in the secret, ladies, you've had children. Something happens in the secret. You say, I'm expecting. Well, how many know that something had to happen there, right? There had to be intimacy. And now you're expecting. And you're anticipating the day when the child, not the birth itself, but after the child is born, the fruit of what you had invested, taking care of that child, even when it's still secretly in the womb. You can't see it, but it's there. So it is in the Spirit. We are sowing in the Spirit seeds, amen, of the Word of God, of worship. And as we do that, we become impregnated. We begin to get full of the Holy Spirit. And there is a release, amen, of God's life. There's a birth. You must be born again. Amen. And we must grow so that we are able to reproduce by building up our spirit through worshiping God in secret. And if we as a congregation worship secretly and are prepared secretly, when we come together, it's glorious. You know, too often we're coming and saying, I'm on life support. And if you got, you know, 100 people on life support coming together, it's somebody's got to be praying. How many knows people are praying about these services, right? Not just me, but others that we're praying that God will move. There has to be something birthed in the Spirit. And the more of us that involve and engage in that, the greater the manifestation of His glory and His power and His presence, and people are going to be saved and healed and delivered miraculously. Why? Because God's Spirit is going to be gloriously poured out upon us. We're creating a cloud. Amen? A cloud of glory as the temple, as worshipers. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And I'm just going to hold it up there. But let me just say this in answer to that, folks. What's happening in the secret life, in the secret chamber with Christ, your relationship with Jesus, as you're drawing from Him, amen, as you're abiding in Him, as you're continuing in Him, in that secret place, there's going to be, hallelujah, times where outwardly in your life there doesn't seem to be any fruit. There's going to be times in your life when it's going to appear to be a time of drought, of spiritual drought. If you continue, are you with me, to sow in the Spirit and to drink of His presence, the time is coming when what you have sown will return. There will be the manifestation of what you have sown in secret, outwardly and visibly in your life. Amen.